We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, Mark Sinner-Race. We're back on Thursdays at 3 o'clock. Shil Kapadia of The Ringer joins us to discuss the Eagles and give his prediction on Sunday's game. And Shil joins us right now. What's up, Shil?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
What's up, Shil?
Well, I mean, I was doing good until I looked at the Eagles' schedule coming up. So let me break it down for you here, okay? Eagles are 10-1. Cowboys are 8-3. The Eagles against the Titans this week, and we'll talk about that game in a second, is a tough matchup. If they were to lose to the Titans this weekend, they're now at 10-2. The Cowboys' next three games are home against Indy, home against Houston, at Jacksonville. So if you break it down and you look at the Eagles' next four games and the Cowboys' next four games, they face each other in the fourth game. If the Eagles were to lose one of their next three games and the Cowboys do what they should do, which is win Indy, Houston, Jacksonville, that game against the Eagles on Christmas Eve would be for the division. If they had the same record and they beat the Eagles head-to-head, they would have the better division record. So if the Eagles don't win on Sunday, if you want to know the importance of Sunday's game, they're setting it up to where that game against the Cowboys on Christmas Eve could be for the division. You have the possibility of going from the first seed to the fifth seed like that.
That's the thing. Other years, it's like, okay, you bump down a little bit. Maybe you go from the fourth to the fifth seed or the third to the fifth seed. This is huge because, like you said, if the Cowboys pick up one game on them, then it all comes down to Christmas Eve. I mean, listen, there are other scenarios where teams lose unexpectedly. We see that every year, but you're right. It would all come down to that Christmas Eve game. The Cowboys would own pretty much every tiebreaker against the Eagles in that scenario. And so now you're looking at a spot where you go from having a bye in the first round and having two potential home games against the worst seeds to get to the Super Bowl, to all of a sudden that fifth seed, you're going on the road week one, you're going on the road week two, and you're going on the road week three. So not only do you have to win extra game, but they're all on the road. So, yeah, you laid it out perfectly there, John. There is so much on the line here in the next month for the Eagles.
Yeah, talk to me a little bit about this Tennessee Titan team, Shil. Division winner, number one seed last year, got knocked out of the playoffs early. Got off to a little bit of a slow start, then got going. We know they aren't a high-powered offensive team. They don't mind playing slugfest games. Everything goes through Derrick Henry. How do you view this team now and where they are and the type of challenge they pose to the Eagles?
Yeah, they're a really good team. This is a really fun matchup because the Titans somehow find a way every week to figure out what they need to do to kind of muddy up the game and make it their kind of game and keep it close. I mean, they've been blown out once against the Buffalo Bills. They lost 40-8, something like that. All their other losses, I think, are by a combined 8 points. Their other three losses are by a combined 8 points. So defensively, they've got some very good defensive linemen. They've got a strong scheme. They believe we're going to out-physical you on every snap. You're going to be hurting on Monday morning. I mean, that's their entire mentality. And that's their mentality on offense, too. I mean, there's not a lot of mystery. We know Derrick Henry is going to get the ball early and often, and then they'll use play action with Ryan Tannehill. So a really well-coached team. If you look at their numbers kind of as an underdog under Vrabel, they almost always show up and turn those games very competitive. So this is, most weeks we talk ourselves into, yeah, it's kind of a challenge. All right, the other team could win any given Sunday. No, this isn't that. That team is very good. they're going to be in the playoffs this year, and this is going to be a fun matchup, a tough matchup for the Eagles.
When you look at how the Eagles have played here the last month, and I don't know if you thought the win against the Packers was very impressive or whatever, but is there any concern that maybe the Eagles aren't playing as well as they were at the beginning of the season, and Sunday's game and the extended stretch here is going to be tougher than maybe we think it is?
I think that that's true, that they're not playing quite as well, maybe in some aspects as they were early in the season. I mean, early in the season, a lot of those games were finished by halftime where, you know, said, all right, you can just ride out the second half. In the last three games, they lose one. They have to battle till the end against the Colts. And then even last week, I mean, they were in control of that game. But that's a one-possession game. That's a seven-point game at the end there. So it hasn't just been one thing. You know, 2 weeks ago, the offense struggled against the Colts, and the defense kind of carries you. This past week, the offense looks like a complete juggernaut, 500 yards of offense, but the defense gets lit up a little bit. So I still have a lot of confidence in this team. I still think they're a very good team. You know, you look at most teams around the NFL, they have some stretches where, yeah, you're not going to blow every team out here, and that's kind of the stretch they're in right now.
Yeah, I'm also feeling Shield. They're in this stretch where the national media, like, we go through seasons and we need storylines, right? This is a part of our job. This is what we do. So the Eagles were, to me, the early season storyline, maybe even through the halfway mark. Jalen Hurts, MVP candidate, Nick Sirianni. But over the last 3 weeks, it kind of seems like the Eagles aren't the top storyline for the NFL right now, and they may not be the NFL's darlings. So I'm just wondering, how does that impact how we view the year Jalen Hurts has had? Guy hasn't had a bad game all season long. Sure, they've lost one, but it wasn't because of his play. And he had seemingly been the MVP front runner for about 8 or 9 weeks. And now that seemingly has changed where Pat Mahomes has jumped ahead of him. I'm just wondering, has the storylines or the, I guess, the shine kind of dulled a little bit on the Eagles and their season versus some of these other storylines that are starting to emerge?
Yeah, you're right. It's the ebbs and flows of a season where after week six, everyone agrees on one thing, and then a month later you get bored with that and you move on to something else and you pick another player or another team. But, man, you're right about Hurts, you know, not having – he's so steady, and he can beat you in so many ways, and he can put the team on his back. I mean, I was just watching that third down scramble on the first possession they had last week. And just think about, you know, we kind of take that for granted watching him every week, but most teams, it's 3rd and 10 or 3rd and 8 or whatever it was, and the pass concept isn't open. Guess what? The play is dead and you're punting, and he makes one guy miss. He makes two guy miss. He makes a third guy miss. And so now it's not only a first down, it's an explosive play on a scramble of over 20 yards. And so, you know, I think you're right about that with Hurts. I mean, I couldn't be any more impressed with him, with his demeanor, with his steadiness, with the way he's improved and addressed his weaknesses. But you are right about the bigger storylines. And I'll tell you what, you look at some of like the betting market numbers, and there are sites you can go to where you say who would be favored on a neutral field. And for most of the season, it was the Eagles. If you look at it this week, the Cowboys and 49ers have jumped just ahead of them. That if those teams played on a neutral field, according to the betting market, the Eagles would be like a one-point underdog now at this point. So, you know, it's not just kind of the perception. It's actually what people are showing, you know, with their money and what kind of the markets are showing.
So what do you think that is? Is it that the other teams have picked up their play and they've been more impressive, or do you think the Eagles just haven't been as impressive as they were earlier in the season?
Yeah, I think it's both. I think there are two things. One is that, you know, a team like the Cowboys, we all thought, at least I thought the Cowboys were dead once Dak Prescott went down with an injury, and then they weathered that storm, and now he's back, and now they look like a really complete team. So I think they've you know, blown out most a lot of teams here in the last few weeks, and so a lot of people are impressed with what they've seen there. And then the 49ers is sort of a similar story. You know, after early on, they had Trey Lance, and then they go to Garoppolo, and then they trade for Christian McCaffrey, and now the defense looks great again. And then it's what we talked about with the Eagles, where they've had sort of this three-game stretch where, listen, they're still 2-1, but they're not blowing opponents out. They don't look quite as dominant as they were early in the season. So, listen, it's all bunched up. You know, it's not like the 49ers and Cowboys in those numbers I just alluded to would be big favorites, but they did inch just slightly ahead. And that could change as soon as, you know, Monday, depending on what happens with the games this weekend.
Shiel Kapadia, the Ringer, with another more bad news, Shiel. More bad news. The eventual Super Bowl winners in 2021, the Rams were 7-4 after 11 games. In 2020, the Bucs, Super Bowl champions, 7-4 after 11 games. The Chiefs in 2019, Super Bowl winners, 7-4 after 11 games. The Niners, currently 7-4 right now after 11 games. And the teams that had the top seeds and had the most wins, those last three years they didn't do it. So the concern would be that the Eagles are front running early, and now it's like, all right, the rest of the league's kind of catching up and they're playing better. It's going to be a wild ride here to the finish line. Shiel, let's get your thoughts on Sunday's game and your prediction.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough game for the Eagles. I think the Titans are going to be able to run the ball. This isn't a game where you say, all right, if they run the ball a little bit, that's okay. We'll prevent explosive plays, because this is a team that will absolutely say, we'll run it some more. I mean, even if they're not having success early, they stick with it, and Derrick Henry will be a load to bring down. I mean, last week, the Bengals, they're throwing everything, stacking the box, run blitzes, all those types of things, and they bottled him up. And so I just wonder, are the Eagles, is Jonathan Gannon going to be willing to commit those kind of resources to stopping Derrick Henry, or are the Eagles going to play the way they normally play? And then the other side of the ball, it's one of the best run defenses in the NFL. We have to keep an eye on their injury reports, but Jeffrey Simmons, their defensive tackle, is an all-pro type player. And so if those guys are healthy, the Eagles are going to have trouble running the ball. So, listen, I feel like I've been maybe a little too negative. I haven't meant to on this call, but I think this is going to be a tough game for the Eagles, and I think it's going to come down to the wire. I still think the Eagles are a very good team and can absolutely make the Super Bowl, but I kind of like the Titans here in this game. I think it's the first time I've picked against the Eagles maybe since the first couple weeks of the season. I've got Titans 24, Eagles 23 in this game.
Damn it, Shiel.
I knew it, Shiel. I knew it was coming from the first, when you first started talking about the Titans. I'm like, he's picking the Titans this week. He is. Well,
it's
Shiel.
It's been a while. I feel like, we do these calls every week. The words were coming out of my mouth, I go, it feels unnatural. I haven't gone this route in a long time. But, I think it might be a tough one for him.
It means you've been right, because the Eagles are 10-1.
That's
but
right.
We will see what happens. Shiel, appreciate it, brother. Talk to you next week.
Always, brother.
Right,
thank you.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Yep.
All right, there you go. Hey, you need more reasons for concern? Now national NFL insiders picking the Titans to win. Jack, you tell me that you're a six?
Wait, are you up to a 10 after a 9?
No, I have to leave at least one notch up for when they lose.
I think, honestly, we can ask them tomorrow, but I'm wondering where the fan base is at with this game and how confident we are in this game. You know, Shiel, he obviously is giving us his truth, and that's why we have him on. I mean, we don't need him to be an Eagles fan every weekend and pick the Eagles. We want him to give us his truth. And I would imagine he's not the only one that thinks this is a tough game. Like, I don't think any – you may have some people who want to feel, I'm an Eagles fan. Oh, we're going to win by 30.
Right.
Yeah, you get some of those. But I think there's a natural sense that this is going to be a tough one Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Eagles even know that.
Oh, yeah. When you listen to Kelsey talk,
it's not
he
an
knows,
easy game. Yeah. This is not the Indianapolis Colts or the Jags. It's the Tennessee Titans. I think they've been in the playoffs the last 4 years. Last 4 or 5 years. It's the same group that went to New England and beat Tom Brady and ended his career in New England.
In New England, yeah.
Then went to Baltimore and knocked off the number one seed in the Baltimore Ravens in the MVP.
Wasn't Vrabel playing those tricks against Belichick where he was able to manipulate the clock somehow and they changed the rules because
oh.
I mean he is a good
of course
yeah,
that's
man.
My point. He's been in the playoffs the last 4 to 5 years. Like, it's not some upstart team that doesn't know how to win the way that they win, and they've been playing football the same way since Vrabel got there. Like, it's not like, oh, we have to resort to running the football because we can't throw. No, this is what they want to do.
Yeah.
And it's been successful for them. So they're not uncomfortable playing this way. It's the way they prefer to play.
Does the mobile quarterback give the Eagles more problems? Because Heinicke, his mobility and able to kind of move around.
Sure,
it
does.
It gives every team issues.
It gives every team. If you got a quarterback that can extend plays with his legs, whether it's to throw it or run it himself to pick up a first down, it is a pain in the butt. It just is. It just is. It's the one thing that it makes it difficult for a defense to account for. And by the way, Ryan Tannehill is a former wide receiver. So he doesn't run a ton, but he's not a pocket quarterback.
No.
Yeah, he's not a statue back there.
Well, it's hard to, and I'm gonna have to he has pay the ability attention to what he did this year. Yeah, exactly.
He has that ability.
Yeah. All right, Steve in South Philly's checking in. So, here's what I think we're gonna have tomorrow is we're gonna have people that are concerned about the game, and now they can see the writing on the wall, which is if you lose one of these games, now that Dallas game becomes the season.
Well,
almost.
I mean, listen, you get a little closer to the game, you get a little more information, and it's always easier to be pumped up and be the biggest Eagles fan on Monday and Tuesday coming off a win. That's when everybody's normally at their highest, coming off a win.
Yep, then when you score 40 on national TV, you feel good.
Yeah, everybody feels great.
Yeah. Let's go to Steve in South Philly. Steve, what's up, brother? How are you?
Johnny Marks, Ike Reese, what up, dudes?
What up, Steve?
Hey, man, it's December 1st. You know what that means. It's time for them damn pajama commercials again.
Oh, and
they've already started.
Hey, look here, man. My wife does not listen to the show a lot, but that was the most entertained she has ever been. One of them times somebody slipped some saxophone music up underneath it.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, we were adding to the segment, but we have to do it without the music now, I think.
She was so entertained by that, but yeah, it's going on. All right, so I will say this. Yesterday, I guess I was in the minority because I definitely called in and kind of let you know that I'm not worried, but I'm concerned, and it was mainly because of, what we have been talking about all year about not being able to, kind of score points in the second half and just the offensive scheme in terms of when AJ's doubled, Devontae can't get open or whatever. They're not doing things to be able to get him open, and the band-aid we had for that was Goddard. If they wouldn't uncover it, then it's like, okay, we'll just hit Goddard. If he's not here, that definitely has given me a level of concern, but not worry. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But the main thing is I'm thinking that just with the games that we got coming up in the same way that you laid them out, you can obviously see the path to how this could go south real quick. I'm not so much worried about that, but I'm also watching other teams that made the corrections that I hope that we make. Like Dallas was going through a stretch where they weren't able to, get their receivers open as much as they want to. So they started doing something that I was talking to y'all about 3 weeks ago. Now they out here throwing touchdowns and all kinds of stuff to tight ends that people don't know the names of. Mm-hmm. And they running mm-hmm. these two and three tighter, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait a minute. Mm. Well, let's loosen up CeeDee Lamb. So I'm sitting there saying, I think our offensive scheme or whatever, they only want to use these tight ends just mainly for blockers. Some of them, like Calcaterra, he was not a good blocker, but what he is good for, somebody got to figure out a way to do what they're doing with Dallas. And it's like when your receivers are blanketed, if you got a guy that can't block that well, but then he can go out and catch, get you 20, 25 yards or something like that, if we could throw some wrinkles like that in, I'd be a lot less concerned.
That's interesting, Steve.
I actually thought that, Steve.
Thank you.
And appreciate the call. I thought we would get the tight ends involved a little more.
A little bit more.
It didn't. It did not. It just ran the ball more.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, they really did. Yeah. I'm excited to see what they try to do this week. I am. OG Wade checking in. OG Wade, how are you?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
Wade, your concerns 1 to 10. How concerned are you about this next stretch?
One. Let me give a shout out to Doc Rivers, man, for that schedule loss that earned me $3,200 on an 18 parlay. I like to thank Doc for the schedule loss.
I'm glad somebody.
But I think I do a terrific job.
Yeah. So listen, and let me tell this other dude, this dude from Mount Airy that don't want the violence on the street and all that, bro. Listen. You. I don't know how long you've been listening, but this is what we do here. Sometimes there's some violence that's got to go down, and this is the moment.
So Wade, I was actually thinking about this last night because it does make it fun. I guess when T got involved, I got nervous because I just worry about the two of you. You and Chuck, I feel like can do the back and forth, and there's nothing crazy. T added another element of concern. I mean, the legal department's already concerned with what's going on as it is.
Calm everybody down.
All right.
Okay. When you have someone like T and like Chuck that come up here with all this hot air, those are guys that wouldn't bust a grape if they worked for Welch's. So if they're saying it on the damn radio, do you really think these chumps is going to come up and try to do anything to the OG? I'm not just the OG.
I do worry about that with T.
Listen, it's not a name. The OG is not a name. Oh, no. It's a certification. And if someone wants to step across that line, hey, and listen, I ain't won every one of them. But damn it, I ain't backing down from none of them. So you can believe that. Now, to keep it on football and sports, T called up here about a year ago and said that I was wrong about the Bulls.
Jalen?
The DN that Baltimore drafted. When I said that I think we should draft him, you said it and T said he was projected to go in the fourth round. I said, I don't care. Baltimore ended up taking him in the first round. Okay, that's Away, the boy Jason Away.
Oh, the Penn State guy.
Yeah. So
yeah, I would never draft the Penn
State calling after
guy.
That. I don't know this if y'all noticed Parsons. It or not. He just came back once he realized that he was wrong about Jalen. Okay, so T's trying to re-cement his feet on these.
On these streets, on these airwaves right now. Yeah.
So I'm not worrying about dudes like that.
Okay.
They weak.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? These are beta males that I keep telling y'all about. I'm an alpha male. Ain't nothing weak or nothing about that.
Well, how's someone supposed to interpret your tough talk? You say everybody else's tough talk on the radio isn't really doesn't mean anything. What about your tough talk?
To be honest with you, my talk is not tough.
Oh.
This is who I am. Like,
it
I mean,
comes off aggressive.
And it's supposed to. That's what the hell I am. I'm aggressive, right? And I don't mind people being aggressive with me. It's okay. You know what I'm saying? As long as we all go home to our families,
right.
We all good.
Okay.
You know I mean? That's the only thing we ask for.
Okay.
You know I mean, ain't nothing wrong with a little fight.
Yeah.
As long as everybody go home to their families.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I had a busted lip before bloody and all of that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? But listen, man, let me tell y'all something. Mm. T said yesterday, okay, he was concerned, and now he's thinking, why is it when we play a tough game, when we have a tough team that we're going to play, why do the Eagles always got to get the end of it? Like, Shule just said, oh, I like Tennessee. And why when we – so are you saying that we're not that good, dude, as a fan and as a – even a sports and talk guy?
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying that if the Eagles have to play a tough team, we can't win them games? Because I don't think it's that.
I do believe there is some belief there.
Saying,
yeah, there's some belief.
Every time we're talking about the Eagles playing
a tough team, yeah. Yeah.
Everybody always come out picking the other team.
Right.
So what I'm saying to y'all right now on this radio, when we put the clamps, and I'm not saying we blowing anybody out,
mm-hmm,
when we do the damn thing to Tennessee, can we all step up like men that I know y'all aren't and admit that you was wrong about this team? Because this team got toughness too.
Okay.
They led by one.
If they lose, I'm going to reserve that first call of the day for you on Monday.
Listen,
all right, Wade?
Here, Johnny boy, here's one thing you got to know about the OG, and you should know this. I don't back down from that. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Okay.
I'm just sorry to say I'm never damn wrong. So what the hell do you want me to do?
All right.
You know what I mean?
All right.
That's a fair point.
All right.
You work for me.
All right, listen, and the other thing is there were a lot of people talking about Chuck from Mount Airy taking over the number one caller on their
list
as well,
man,
from you.
Listen, Johnny Marks, if anybody choose Chuck over me, that means they're not that damn bright.
Well, that's Ike chooses Chuck over
you. That's another subtle shot at me.
I know what Ike's doing. Ike, I know what Ike is doing. Ike doing what we do in the hood. when you see your little brother, you know what I mean, struggling to beat a victor, you go and help him out. I like the fact that I ain't doing that. That's hood worthy. You know what I'm saying? So don't. Yeah. Chuck is a Chuck man. Let me tell you something.
All right, OG.
Yeah,
all right,
there he is. Okay. There he is.
OG. Just fine.
Yeah, but I mean, Chuck has had. We've gotten something from almost every call that he's had the last couple weeks.
All right, depends on what you're looking for.
Run the damn ball. I mean, we're literally getting drops from him.
Yeah. Well, but OG is there behind the MVP that has convinced a lot of people to be on that board. There's nothing Chuck's going to be able to do to change that.
Nah,
there's nothing Chuck's going to be able to do to change that. The OG has that up on him and everyone else. He stuck through it, through the tough stuff, through the thick and thin, through all of it. He's there. Everybody,
never wavered.
Everybody else is getting on board afterwards. Got to pay homage.
He never wavered.
You got to give him his credit.
215-592-9494. When are you putting your ranking out, Jack?
It's usually by the book. And today's the last day of the fall book, right? So maybe tomorrow.
December 7th, I think, is the...
Right on time, anyway.
Yeah.
Close enough.
But it's coming up. So you're going to have your quarterly...
I didn't know anything about this.
Your quarterly rankings are coming up. I didn't know he did it once a quarter.
No, honestly, I didn't know I did that either until I looked back at old Top 5 and 5s and saw that I did one for the winter book.
Okay.
So I think it's about time to update it, yes.
That is
exciting. Especially because Inge hasn't called in forever.
Inge's dropped out, man.
Inge was on Twitter just with it saying idiotic things, and he got caught on it. Yeah, people were ripping him on Twitter. 215-592.
Like that's on brand.
94. No, he said Jordan Davis is a bust. He's a bust already.
Well, see, that's the other. Never mind. We can go to break.
215-592-9494. Wait until you hear what an NFL executive had to say about Jalen Hurts and how he might be holding back the production of one Eagles player.
Wow.
Who is it, and is it fair? We'll discuss coming up next. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
Hey, football season is underway, so now's the perfect time to download FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. Because right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Now, that's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just make sure you sign up using promo code Ike. Now, I've talked to you about some of the things that I love about FanDuel. You know it. My favorite bets from the money line, point spreads, and player props. And you know I love the same game parlays. I mean, seriously, Russell Westbrook took 14 shots last night and he couldn't score 15 points. My goodness, he cost me in a 9-leg parlay last night. Come on, Westbrook. Goodness. Now, all that's found on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. That's why I love the FanDuel app. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. So sign up today with promo code Ike for your no-sweat first bet. Again, that's promo code Ike and make every moment more this season with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Everybody, please put a thumb in the air.
Hey. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Marks and Reese, we're back. Twitter questions brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers annual men's night out is back December 15th. Do all your holiday shopping in one night. Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville on Route 309. I will be in attendance doing my shopping. Details are online, marks-jewelers.com. All right. Get back to the phones coming up in a second. So ESPN.com looked at the big trades that were made in the offseason. Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams, and they kind of graded them and spoke about them. And while the Eagles got a good grade for the trade still, a B-plus by, I guess, the consensus, one of the little nuggets in here is from someone that's an NFC executive, said that, I don't really believe in Jalen Hurts like some others do. Are you getting a full return on Brown considering the quarterback they have? That's a legitimate question. So more or less saying like, hey, listen, it's great. Yeah, A.J. Brown's a great player, but you really know what kind of a player you're getting with Jalen Hurts as the quarterback, which I think is totally bogus, by the way. Now, if you were going to talk about the passing offense and you wanted to discuss Jalen in that, I think looking at Devontae Smith and saying like, is he getting the touches? Is he getting the throws? Is he getting the targets that maybe in a different offense or a different quarterback you'd be getting? We talked about it yesterday. Jalen Waddle's on pace to have like 1,400 receiving yards. And that's with Tyreek Hill having over 2,000 receiving yards.
That's more yards than A.J. Brown.
And that's going to be more yards than A.J. Brown, right? A.J. Brown's actually on pace to, I mean, break records that he had, at least for receiving yards. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's 53 receptions for 831 yards and 7 touchdowns. So, I mean, if he continues at that pace, he's going to set records in pretty much everything that he's done.
You mean personal records?
Yeah, personal records, sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he played in a running offense in Tennessee.
Right. I mean, it's a running offense here, too, in Philly. But I just don't think it's fair to say, I don't believe in Jalen Hurts. Are you getting a full return on Brown considering Jalen Hurts? Well, he's going to put up career highs in almost everything. So
I know, but what they're saying is he should be better. He should be putting up better numbers is what they ultimately are saying.
Right.
Like going from Tennessee to Philly, it shouldn't be – they're trying to say it shouldn't be a marginal improvement. It should be a drastic
even more
improvement based on his skill set, based on his ability. And I'm assuming they're implying if he was with a different quarterback or in a different offense, then his numbers – we just brought up the number two receiver in Miami has more yards than both of our receivers.
Yep.
Like, that says something. Like, that says something.
What does it say? Is it the offense?
Well,
it says
it's a run heavy. It says it's a run heavy offense. That's what I would say. It says it's a run heavy offense. I mean, that's what I would say. But he's clearly implying that it's because
it's Jalen.
The quarterback isn't developed enough. So that's that guy's opinion. Like, I mean, I don't know. That's his opinion, but that's what he's saying.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't. Like, are they a run-heavy offense because it's because of Jalen? Because they think he's limited what he can do in the passing offense? That's ultimately what he's saying is the reason why they're running so much and they're not using A.J. Brown like they could. If A.J. Brown's in Miami right now, what do his numbers look like? Right? I mean, we talk about Waddle has almost 1,000 yards. Tyreek Hill's going to on pace for 2,000 yards. But they also throw the ball a lot.
Yeah.
So, fair criticism? I mean, fair to say that...
I mean, if he's criticizing him, I think it's not a fair criticism. But if he's just assessing the situation, it's fair to wonder what it is or what have you. It just is. I mean, you guys were just telling me that the passing offense stinks for the last month.
Mm-hmm.
So what makes that any different?
No, I think the difference is when you're looking.
Well, except that guy is saying it's Jalen. That's the only difference.
Right. But like I'm also I'm being told by a lot of people is it's less about they don't want to have the passing offense. It's just that like right now they're built to run and it's working. So why would you do otherwise? I mean, that's what everybody's telling me about the passing offense. That's the counter to it is they don't need to run and the passing offense is fine. They run the ball right now.
I just think they run the ball better than they throw the ball. Like, that's what it is. And if we want to put it on, you want to put it on the quarterback or you want to say the offensive passing game isn't that complex or that diverse or what have you, I mean, it's clear to see that the Eagles are a running football team. Like,
correct.
That's very clear. That's very clear. What you take from it is what you take from it.
Right. Which is?
Like, some people are sad that the 49ers aren't a passing offense. But yeah. Is people complaining about that? I've seen the 49ers enough to know that they're not a passing offense with Jimmy Garoppolo as the quarterback.
No,
that's a running offense. And whether they use the short pass game with their wide receivers to run after the catch, like Jimmy G is not viewed as a guy that they are building the offense around his arm to throw the ball.
No, I agree, and I think that they have, at least the fans have similar conversations, which is we know what Jimmy G is, and he's not going to – you don't want him to throw the ball 40 times a game. The 49ers
drafted another quarterback.
Right, and they traded up to – yes. And gave up a lot to get him too.
Yeah.
All right.
Because maybe they don't want to be a running offense.
Yeah, they've thrown the ball more than they've rushed it this year. They've rushed it for the 439 times. They've thrown it 545 times. The Eagles are 54% rushing. I think it was 54 when we looked it up the other day. So they've actually ran it
more. The 49ers were losing a lot of games.
That's fair.
So you throw the ball more when you lose. The Eagles were winning the majority of their games. They don't need to throw the ball for four quarters because they're not losing 44 to something to Kansas City.
No, that's fair. When you're in the lead, you're running the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Agreed. I think that's
I just think when you look at the 49ers offense, you know that's a running football team. That's why they traded for a freaking running back.
Jack, do you think it's
that's a running football team? They gave up five draft picks for a running back.
Pretty much.
No, that's what they did. Wasn't it like 2/3, 2 seconds?
They gave up two. They for Trey Lance?
No, for Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, Christian McCaffrey. Sorry. Yeah. No. Yeah, because of Jimmy
they're
Garoppolo.
A running football team this year. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They don't want to be that. That's why they traded up for Trey Lance so they can throw the ball. But under Jimmy Garoppolo, and right now it's a running offense.
Hmm. Jack, do you think this is? Do you think there's anything to this? What the executive's saying?
Well, honestly, it just shows how good A.J. Brown is. Like, I think A.J. Brown, what I've learned from him this year is that, yeah, if they had, like, an unbelievable passing game, he would be over 1,000 yards. But I also don't think that means the passing game's bad. Like, I think he's been efficient. I think A.J. Brown's been an efficient player. And mm-hmm. I think that, yeah, I think if they're in a more passing offense, yeah, he'd be having a better year. But I think he's been exactly what they've needed.
So what's the quote again?
It is I'm going to pull it up here. It says, I don't really believe in Jalen Hurts like some others do.
No. I mean, the entire thing, the whole A.J. Brown.
I'm reading it.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
And he starts off with Jalen Hurts.
Okay.
I don't really believe in Jalen Hurts like some others do. Are you getting a full return on Brown considering the quarterback they have? And NFC executive said, that's a legitimate question.
Yeah, see. And, I mean, obviously, it's an anonymous NFL exec.
Yes.
But he's clearly telling you what he's thinking. He's not dancing around what he's thinking.
Nope.
He told you first words he doesn't believe in Jalen Hurts. He's not sugarcoating it. He's letting you know. He's saying, are you getting a full return on your wide receiver with this quarterback? And based on his opinions about Jalen Hurts,
no.
He thinks you can be getting more out of A.J. Brown if you had a different quarterback.
Yeah. If he was in Miami, he'd have bigger numbers. But does that mean that that's a better situation or a better team than what they're doing right here? If AJ Brown has 1,300 receiving yards and 12 touchdowns, and they're 54% running the ball, I'd say that's a pretty successful season
mm-hmm.
for AJ Brown, considering how much they run the ball.
I agree.
So Devontae's the one that's really gonna like AJ Brown's putting up career numbers. Devontae's the one where I would be looking at and saying he hurts Devontae's numbers because you're not throwing the ball enough for him to get the touches and for him to get the.
Well, I mean, it's fair to say they both could have more numbers. I mean,
definitely.
How many yards per game is A.J. Brown getting at 800 and some yards? What is that, 60-some yards a game?
So he's played 11 games, so, yeah, I can do the math real fast. But, yeah, it's like 60, 70 yards a game, sure.
Yeah, it's 17 games in the season. He's had, I would say, A.J.'s had three games where he felt like a dominant player.
The Lions game.
Did he really feel dominant? He had the one catch.
Wait, did he have 100 and?
It's 75.
Did he have over 100 in the first
160,
game?
I think he had 150 yards.
He had 100. So here's his two best games. 155 against the Lions.
Okay.
10 receptions.
Okay. So that was. He started out the season with a great game.
Oh, we were hot. We were hot.
Yes, okay.
Six receptions against Pittsburgh. 156 yards. Three touchdowns.
Okay.
So that's the big game that he had. He had the three touchdowns. Jalen threw it up and he made the play over Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. Those is only.
So that's his only 100-yard games.
So he only has two 100-yard games?
So he had 69 yards against the Vikings, 85 yards against Washington, 95 against Jacksonville, 32 against Arizona, 67 against Dallas, 59 against Houston, 7 against Washington, and he was banged up. He was hurt. 60 against Indy and then 46 this past weekend against Green Bay. He's averaging 75 yards a game.
Okay.
Which is like.
But I think if we had started the season and you would say through 11 games, A.J. Brown has two 100-yard receiving games, how do you think people would react to that?
Expecting more?
Yeah.
Yeah. Expected
that, that's all
four.
I'm saying.
Expected
that's
probably
all
four,
I'm saying.
Like four would be like, all right, yeah, he's got 400-yard receiving games.
Well, out of 11 games, how many would a T.O. have?
A lot more than that.
I'm just asking. That's all. I'm just asking. I really don't know.
I'm gonna look.
So
the thing with A.J. Brown is, though, like, we're talking about his production right now.
Mm-hmm.
831 yards. Mm-hmm. So, like, McLaurin has 840.
Well, look at his quarterbacks.
I understand. CD has,
that matters.
CD has 857.
Five games with Cooper Rush where they ran the ball.
Waddle has 963. Devontae Adams, 999. Diggs, 1,100. Jefferson, 1,230. And then Tyreek Hill, obviously, 1,230 as well. I mean, like, T. Higgins is right behind him. Chris Olave is right behind him. Like, he's right, you know.
He's in the T. Higgins category. Is that what we're doing?
Right around T. Higgins right now.
He is not in the. He should not be in that
saying,
category.
Should not be in the T. Higgins category.
Right. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So 11 full games T.O. played in. Because I'm not going to count the Dallas game because he was in.
Okay,
in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
11 games. How many 100 yard games do you think he had?
Six.
He had six. Yep. He had six, and even in the games like the Giants game, he had three touchdowns. He had 68 yards, but he had three touchdowns. That was mm-hmm. the game where the Giants had no idea how to cover anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it was easy, mm-hmm. easy peasy that game. Yeah, he had 6 of 11.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's better than 50%.
Yeah, that's I'm just playing devil's advocate off the NFL exec comments. I would look at that and say. I would say that's a reflection of the offense, in my opinion.
No, I agree with you.
See, I don't take this. I don't look at it and say Jalen isn't a good quarterback or he's not developed. I say the offense doesn't allow for him. Like Tua. Tua's down there with Mike McDaniels. Like, these are plays that are designed and drawn up for Tua to throw the ball as much
all
as he's
time.
Throwing the ball.
If Tua was in this,
like he's throwing the ball. Yeah.
If Tua was in this offense, doing what they want to do in this offense,
no, it wouldn't work.
You're right; it wouldn't work. They need Jalen to run in this
yes.
offense.
Yes,
they do.
Yes.
And the last thing you want Tua to do is doing is
no,
running.
He's not
he
a
gets
runner.
Hurt.
Yeah,
no,
he's not a runner.
The biggest thing with him is staying healthy.
No, he's not a runner. He's never been a runner. He's a thrower. Right. That's his thing. His thing is accuracy, touch. Like that's his thing is throwing the football. It's not his running ability.
I mean, I don't. Maybe I'm in the minority here. I think AJ Brown's season has been fine. I'm a little surprised he only had 200 yard games, but I feel like for the most part, his season's been fine.
Being I think it's been fine because we've been winning.
Well,
it hides the fact that you depend on him to win you games.
Right. If they were throwing the ball 60% of the time, the numbers would be much different.
Mm-hmm.
They're running the ball 54% of the time. I mean, it's just like they're not throwing the ball as
that's
much.
That's the offense. I agree.
That's the offense.
That's what I'm saying.
More
I think
than the quarterback.
That's the offense. I think it's the offense. Now, you can
now,
argue.
Is that because of the quarterback?
Right. Now, yeah, you'd have to argue that sort of angle of the situation. But when I look at Jalen throwing the ball, like Tim Tebow, I don't want throwing the ball. There are quarterbacks I don't want to throw the ball.
Yeah, that's not Jalen.
That's not Jalen Hurts.
No.
It couldn't be further from what Jalen Hurts is as a quarterback right now. So I don't say they're not throwing the ball because of him. I'm wondering whether or not they got enough of a complex offense and diverse offense that you can lean on the passing game and get these guys open. And get them the football. Miami had to change their offense up. They get Tyreek Hill. You got to change the offense.
Well, and you also have Waddle and Tyreek Hill.
You got Jalen Waddle.
Well, you also have Tyreek Hill and Waddle with Bridgewater playing in four games.
Mm-hmm.
And Skylar Thompson. So, I mean, think about it. If Tua would have played in all these games, he might have 2,000 yards already.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill.
No, you're right.
you're
right. Which you know what it says to me? And I don't even know what Tyreek or Waddle's numbers were when Tua was out, but they obviously had to be pretty good considering where they are, and he missed four games or three games, whatever it was. It says that the offense play design is good. They're able to still get those guys the football, whether it's whoever the hell that
whatever
quarterback
is,
was
yeah.
or Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah. All right, let's back to the phones.
That's why I go back to the offense like, this offense got to be a little more.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah, it's got to be a little more to it than what we've been doing.
Tate Mount Airy, how you doing, Tate? What's up, buddy?
What's up, bro? How you doing?
Hey.
What's up, Tate?
How are you?
color came the positive guy from Mount Airy that won nonviolence. And I'll remain that dude, too. Because grown men start calling names, sometimes it can bring anger. Anger is one letter from danger. So,
yeah, Tate. Listen, I agree with you, but we have to, like, Wade seems to what he was saying was he understands this is just, you know, stuff on sports radio and everything's fine. So,
right. But what I was going to say is AJ Brown, I'm sure his attempts are down because we have a lead in the second half. So if you bring another quarterback here that's used to throwing a lot, he's not going to get an opportunities because we're trying to kill the clock and preserve the lead. And as far as Jason's comment, I think that he would have said that about the Titans if they were 4-7, because we know that Jason is just as savvy behind the mic as he is on the field. So I think, you know, what he said about the Titans, he's true, but if their record was flipped, he would have said that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because he's not going to say anything bad about a team that he's about to play.
No, agree. But do you agree? I mean, I'll just ask you. Do you think this is how tough of a game do you think this is?
I mean, I go to every game thinking it's going to be tough because after 8 games, I mean, all your players are out there. So you know it's going to be tougher to execute. So I sit there and watch the game, and I've been totally impressed how we react to every challenge, and we overcome that. But I don't go into a game thinking it's going to be easy. Mm. So, yes, it's going to be tough, but I just think that people go right to the visiting team's strengths every week. They don't go to our strengths like that as fast. Mm-hmm. Like Johnny Marks, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Out of our 10, 11 games, how many games have you picked the other team beforehand?
The first couple weeks for sure, but not a lot since then. I think Minnesota and Detroit, I picked them to win the games, but not since then. Maybe one since then, but that's really it.
I don't know.
I'm just telling you, we have our record that we pick every week, and I care about that record, so I'm not going to pick against the Eagles just because that's what you want me to do. And I probably am going
to
pick the Titans to win this week. Well, you do, because you want me. What you want me to do is you want me to pick against the other team, so then everybody can be mad at me and oh, you're just picking against the Eagles. No, I pretty much picked the Eagles to win because the Eagles have been playing well and they've been rolling. This is a tough game. Is this the toughest game they've had all year, considering where they are as a team and the injuries and just kind of the where they are on their schedule? I mean, it's certainly the biggest game of the year to date.
Yeah.
You lose this game, and the Cowboys win their next 3, Indy, Houston, Jacksonville. That game against the Eagles on Christmas Eve is for the division. It's for the division. What a huge game on Sunday. 215-592-9494. It's Marks and Reese. More of your phone calls coming up next. 215-592-9494. Bridgewater in one of these games, Ike, that he played through for 300 yards, 329 yards.
Offense.
Off, yeah.
Because we already know Teddy Bridgewater's 2 gloves check down, man. Come on, man. How the hell did he throw for 300 yards?
And that was when he was hurt. Remember, Skylar Thompson started, and he got knocked out of the game with a concussion. Yeah. Thompson had 89 yards before he went out. And then Bridgewater came in for 329, 400 yards.
Yeah.
215-592-9494. It's Marks and Reese. Coming up, also, Eagles calls and Doc Rivers. What did he have to say after the game last night? And is what he said fair? Where do you hear this? That's coming up next. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. Hey, listen, coming up on Sunday, I will be at the Landmark Americana in University City right here on Market Street for the Eagles game. Have you dreamed of Eagles season tickets? Well, that's why you got to come out. Watch the game with me, Landmark Americana, University City, Market Street, 1 p.m. on Sunday, and you can register for WIP's Game Day 2023 season ticket giveaway presented by Miller Lite. Come watch the game. Enjoy $4 Miller Lite drafts, cans, and Vizzies, and have some great food. It's WIP's Game Day 2023 season ticket giveaway with me for Sunday's game at Landmark Americana in University City. Go to 94WIP.com/contest. It tastes like Miller time, Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.